Welcome to the Landmark Podcast. I'm Jason Calhoun, pastor of Landmark Pentecostal Church in Texarkana, Texas. We encourage you to visit us on the web at landmarkupc.net for a schedule of services and upcoming events. We pray that you are blessed by the message today. Thank you again for listening.
Tonight, I invite your attention to the Word of the Lord, to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and we'll begin reading at verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 9. And this is in prayer, something that I feel that, or a verse of scripture that early on this week the Lord placed in my heart and begin to deal with me about this passage of scripture, especially in lieu of all that we have been experiencing around here and been feeling. And this has just been on my heart, and I've been praying about it, and I want to deliver my soul tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men that we are made manifest unto God, and trust also are made manifest your consciences." Let's look at verse 11 again. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." I want you to look at that very closely. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." And I just want to lift those three words there. "We persuade men." Praise God. I want the Lord to help us tonight. How many pray that the Lord would anoint and bless in the continuation of this service this evening? Would you lift up your voice to the Lord and pray with me right now? Jesus, we're looking unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one that is able to anoint, to bless, and to move in our lives the way that we need you to. Pray, God, that you would strengthen tonight, and that you would anoint our minds and our hearts to receive the Word of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody say, "In Jesus' name." Would you clap your hands again to Him before you're seated? Hallelujah. Thank you so much for standing, and you may be seated. More than an acceptance of men, and more than accolades that we could receive and carnal accomplishments that we could achieve in this life and temporal successes that some way we could arrive at or goals that we could reach, it has been my prayer, and I don't believe I'm the only one in this room that feels this way, but I believe that it's every one of our prayers that is truly, sincerely seeking after God, is that more than all of those things, first of all, you want to be saved. And then second of all, you want to be truly effective for God and see as many people saved as you possibly can. I don't believe that there's anybody in this place that wishes for anyone to be lost. It's our desire to see everyone reached that we can. And we don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody. We don't want to be a hindrance to anybody. Often that is what we pray. God, don't allow me to be a stumbling block to anybody or a hindrance to anyone coming to you or receiving what they need from you. But I am convinced that in order for us to truly be effective, in order for us to truly be used of God, we're going to need more than just to have received a touch from the Lord. But we're going to need to have been impacted to the point that we are transformed. that we are truly changed. Amen. And there are certain events that happen in people's lives that impact them in such a way that leave them different from that moment on. There's things that happen in the natural that affect people that way. Some of you may be able to go back this far, but certainly you know people that have been gone back this far in our nation's history, but people that were living around the time of the Great Depression that made an impact upon their life. And a lot of times they mark history that way. They will say something like that was before or that was just after the Great Depression. And that was such a landmark to them that that's how they measure time now. I had an uncle that was drafted into the Vietnam War during the mid-1960s. And I, of course, did not meet him before that, but his mother, by her own testimony, said that after he came back from his tour of duty in Vietnam, that he was never the same. His personality had totally changed. He would not discuss, he would not talk anything about his experiences in the war, but it did mark him. And there was a noted change that took place in his life because of this experience. You have probably been impacted in one point or another in your life by this, but you've certainly seen others affected by it, and that is the death of a close loved one, maybe a spouse, God forbid, a child that has passed. And from that point, a person's life, because of that experience and the grief that is involved in that and the heartbreak, they are never exactly the same. Only using these as illustrations that there are events, there are experiences in life that leave us changed, that leave us different. But nothing has the power to change our lives like the power of the Holy Ghost. Would you agree with that? That all things, as the Scripture says, becomes new. And there's a change that takes place. And of course, there is a significant change that happens when we initially receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When that experience comes to our life, and when that occurs in a person's life, there's something that takes place there that they'll never be able to escape and get away from, even if they were to backslide and go away from God. There's a residue of that. There's something about that experience. There's something that only the Spirit of God can satisfy. Only the Holy Ghost can give that peace, and only the Holy Ghost can give that kind of joy. And there's no substitutes in sin. There's no substitutes that Satan has provided. There's no substitutes that one can find in this world to fill that void. However, even though it is a great experience and a wonderful thing to receive the Holy Ghost the first time, and so significant in our lives that I would venture to say that everybody here can remember the place, the location, the church, or wherever it was that you received the gift of the Holy Ghost. You could take us back to that address. You could take us back maybe even to that place in the altar. Maybe there's not a building there anymore. Maybe there's it's been changed into something else, and there's another type of business or another type of even church that is occupying that place. And maybe it's been remodeled or the floor plan has been changed. But you know where it was when God gave you this great experience of the Holy Ghost. Can I hear an amen? It was so life-changing. It made such a difference for you. When you left the altar that night, or perhaps it was in another place where you received the Holy Ghost, but wherever it was where you met God and He filled you with His Spirit, it was so life-changing that you never forgot it. But I'm going to tell you, as great as that initial experience is, this that we've received, this that you got initially, is to continue to change you. is a process that is supposed to continue to alter your life. There never is a place that you stop growing in God. There never is a place where you stop progressing and going further in God. We continue to be changed by the Spirit of the Lord. We continue to be impacted by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. As great as it was, I'm thankful that we can come back and draw from that well again and be renewed in the Holy Ghost again. I'm thankful that it's not a one-time experience. But if you get low on your joy, you can come back and receive the powerful gift of the Holy Ghost again. If you get low, amen, on your enthusiasm for the things of God, you can come back to an altar and you can pray through again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you're weary, if you're discouraged, if you're going through a place of despondency, if a spirit is resisting you, whatever the case may be, aren't you thankful that you can come back and receive this experience again? Get a brand new touch. Amen. Be impacted just like you were the first time. Amen. But not just to get back to where you were, but this is something that takes us even further. And we go to deeper places in God. And we experience greater things in God. And God reveals to us more about Himself. And we receive more understanding of who God is and what God expects of us. And we learn more about our purpose in God. I truly hope, and it's my prayer for this church, that's your desire. God, I want to learn more about what your purpose is for me. And I want to fulfill that purpose in my life. I want to do your complete will. I want to be the person that you want me to be. I don't want to fail or shirk my responsibility. I don't want to live beneath what you've called me to do. But I want to be everything. Come on, is there anybody that wants to be everything? Wants to experience everything? Wants to do everything, wants to go everywhere and be everything that God would have you to be, because in doing so, that's how we're going to see ourselves saved, and that's how we're going to impact this world. Can you say praise the Lord, somebody? Hallelujah. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord. So it's a continuing change that takes place in our lives. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 11 through 15. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, talking about the fivefold ministry here. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. Amen. We're not perfected just when we come into this thing. But every one of us, no matter how long we've been around, no matter how long we've lived for God. I need some more mic here tonight. No matter how long we've been in this thing, we're all seeking more. And we need to be perfected for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. How many believes that God wants us to receive more knowledge in Him and understanding in Him, more knowledge of His Word and understanding of His Word, more knowledge of His nature and understanding of who He is, knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I haven't achieved everything that God has for me. I'm still growing. I'm still seeking for the fullness, that measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cutting craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Notice the terminology here over and over again. Perfecting the saints till we all come into the knowledge of Christ, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Being no more children tossed to and fro, but growing up into what he desires and what he has planned for us to be. I know that we feel like in many cases we have came a long way. We have a testimony of where God has brought us from. But I want you to get a picture here tonight that there's so much more that God really wants to do in our lives. There's so much more, many more prayers, many more great testimonies of the works that he is able to do through us. There's much more anointing. There's much more revival. There's many more ways that he wants to use us in impacting the world around us if we'll just yield to him. And that's really just the key, is yielding to God and saying, God, I surrender. I desire to be used of you. I'm going to walk with you and be what you would have me to be. I'm going to continue to follow you, and I'm going to give my life to surrendering to you. I'm not going to get to a certain point and say that's far enough, but I'm saying, God, here I am. I'm willing. I'm willing to grow. I'm willing to flourish. I'm willing to be more fruitful than I've ever been for you. Come on, clap your hands and let's praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. In Galatians chapter number 4 and verse 19, the Apostle Paul speaking here gives us some insight into how he felt about what is happening in the Galatian church and his responsibility to see something happen with them, that they not just stay stagnant, but they grow in God and become greater in God. And notice what he said, my little children, of whom I have in whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Amen. Anybody ever had that experience where you're saying, God, I'm endeavoring to walk with you. I'm endeavoring to live for you. I'm endeavoring to serve you. I'm endeavoring to do your will. But sometimes in my flesh, I fall short. I make mistakes. Amen. I fall away. I don't live up to what I'm supposed to. But I got to go back and travail again and pray once more and pray until Christ be formed in me. Amen. Now, we understand that the Apostle Paul, the pastor here, is praying that Christ be formed in the saints of the church at Galatia. But I think that every one of us need to get a hold of that same burden for ourselves and not depend on somebody else to carry that burden for us, but get a hold of it ourselves and understand that, God, in order for me to have you formed in my life and to become the person that you would have me to be, to grow to the point that you would have me to grow up to, and the measure and the stature in the fullness of Christ that you would have me to be according to your word, I've got to have a prayer and a burden in my heart that Christ be formed in me. Amen. These old attitudes, I got to pray until they're removed. These old hindrances, I got to pray until they're removed. This old spirit of resistance, I got to pray and travail until it be removed. I got to pray until Christ be formed in me. I've got a nature that's not of Christ. I got flesh to deal with that is not of Christ. I wrestle with temptations that is not of Christ, but I can pray to a point that Christ be formed in me. Hey, that's what we're doing right here at church tonight. When the Word of God is preached, the seed of the Word of God falls upon your heart, and you're letting it be formed in you. You're saying, I'm going to take that hold. I'm going to apply it to me. I want to have a spirit that can receive the Word of God, because I want Christ to be formed in me. Come on, is that anybody's desire here? I want Him to work on me and deal with me and stir me, because I want to be more like Him. Praise God. Praise God. And then Paul himself says in the book of Philippians, he says this of himself. He's talked about others here. He's written about others here in these verses preceding this that I have read to you. But in Philippians chapter number 3, Philippians chapter number 3, I may have missed that one on our list, but I'll find it here. Philippians chapter number 3 and verse 7, he says, but what things were gained to me, this is familiar reading, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now, we're talking about the Apostle Paul. We're talking about the one that sat at the feet of Gamaliel. As far as the book was concerned, he knew it backwards and forwards. Amen. And as far as his relationship with the Lord was concerned, he had quite a relationship with God. But he said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. We thought you'd already won Him. We thought you was already further along than anybody else that we could give an example of, Paul. But Paul is still seeking. He's still growing. He's still maturing. He's still yearning. He's still praying that God would move and work in his life, and saying, I want to be more like Him. I want to do things like He would like me to do them. I want to live a life that is pleasing to Him. I haven't gotten there yet. I'm not pleased with my progress just yet. I haven't arrived, amen, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. And we all shout about that. We all want to know Him in the power. We all want to know Him in prayers being answered and victories coming and miracles happening. And we all want those kinds of testimonies. But it's the rest of this that we don't necessarily want, but it's all part of it. It takes the whole package to really know God. Amen. And the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Amen. What was He saying? There's some flesh in me that spiritually has to die out. There's some fleshly wills and desires and those types of things that has to die out. Amen. And I must know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings. In order for that to happen, there has to be a humbling of this flesh. And sometimes suffering is the only way that that can happen. Sometimes going through things is the only way that can be knocked out of me. Sometimes going through some dark places, the only way that I'll appreciate the good times. It's the only way that I'll appreciate the times when I can feel Him like I really want to feel and desire to feel Him. The only way that I can appreciate it is for me to have fellowship with His sufferings. Praise God. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I've already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that which, if that I may apprehend, that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I am reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's saying, I want to know Him in a greater way. This is a man that possibly knew him more than anybody else, and that had deeper revelation. All you got to do is read his writings in the New Testament. You'll understand that he had great insight and revelation that was revealed to him by God. But he's saying, there's room for more. There's room for more. I have not got to the place that I don't need more. And so I need the Lord to speak to me and to reveal to me things. And the only way that revelation can come is through relationship. Drawing close to God. That's the only way that things can be revealed to me. Even in the natural, that's how things is revealed about another individual. It's through relationship. It's through your knowledge of them. How do you get to know them? Through having a relationship with them. I know many times when we have preachers here to visit to preach for us, we'll often, if they're coming alone, call their wives or somebody that knows them or has had them before, and we'll ask about their likes and dislikes, because we're going to get a little basket together and we want to know a little bit about what they like for refreshment and what kind of snacks they would want, what kind of drinks. We don't want to put things in there that they won't appreciate or they won't like or they won't use. So we have to have because we may not have a long-term relationship with them, we may not know. But that person that lives with them on a day-to-day basis knows exactly what it is that would be appreciated, what it is that would be used, what it is that would be a part of their diet, and what they would like, and what their preferences would be. Well, it's the same way in the things of the Spirit. It's only through spending time with the Lord that we'll be able to know Him and what He appreciates and what He likes and what He's pleased with and what He favors and what He'll bless and what He'll put His hand upon. I don't know about you, but I need the favor of the Lord. I need the blessing of God. I desire Him to come down and to work and to have His way in our lives and in this church. And I want to spend time in relationship with God where He can reveal to me what He desires and what He wants and what He is desiring of me to do and what would be pleasing and what would fit in the will of God and the purpose of God for us. And that's something that I have to cultivate every day. That's something that I can't fail to go and to cultivate and to nourish and to do my best to keep that connection. Praise God. That's a very sacred thing. That's something that once you ever get that pipeline, as it were, built between you and God, you don't ever want it to be shut off. You don't want anything to ever hinder it. You don't want anything to ever stop up the line, because you've built a connection with God, and God's speaking to you and God's revealing things to you. I'm going to tell you, God still speaks to men. God still speaks to women. God is still able to talk to people today. Come on, we talk about Him talking to folks back several years ago, and we make testimony of Him and preach about what He did for those old timers. I'm going to tell you, God hasn't stopped speaking. God hasn't stopped wanting to talk to people. It's us that has shut off the line. It's us that hasn't spent enough time in His presence. Amen. Praise God. Now, I want to say it again, because I feel it so emphatically, that a lot of times we quit when we should be just getting started. We pray to a certain point and we feel God and we feel satisfied and we leave, and God's saying, I'm just now getting ready to speak to you. I'm just now getting in the mood to talk to you. I'm just now making the connection with you that I want. You just now got through all the flesh and all the hindrances and all the things that are distracting there and finally got in my presence, and now you want to leave? Oh no, we got to stay there so that God can speak to us, so that God can talk to our hearts, so that God can move upon us, so that God can have His way in our life, so that Christ can be formed in us. Praise God. Has anybody desired to be more like Him? And it's through this that we receive that revelation. And it's through this that we receive that knowledge. And it's only through that relationship can we have revealed to us things about God? And can we receive that burden that we need to receive for the world, the lost that are around us? Because if we don't take time to get in the presence of God, if we're so self-possessed and consumed with our daily worries and cares that we don't have time for the presence of the Lord, we certainly aren't going to have time for a lost world. But once we get in His presence, we're going to take on His nature, and His nature is all about souls. His nature is all about reaching lost humanity. Amen. That's what He came to this world in the flesh to do, to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, the whole need not a physician. Praise God. How much more preaching do we need to hear for us to get it right, for us to get what we need from God and to prop us up again and get us from Sunday to Sunday. At some point or another, we've got to get beyond that and get to the point that we receive the burden of this and realize, hey, it's about seeing a city impacted. It's about having revival, because there's a whole lot of needs out there and there's a whole lot of souls that are out there. Because I believe this: if this world is to be changed, it's going to be changed through people who have been changed. I said, if this world is to be changed, it's going to happen through people that have been changed themselves. The Apostle Paul is saying in our text here tonight, he's saying, knowing therefore, it's been revealed to us. Amen. And it's through revelation that we understand this. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Because we have a revelation of the reality that souls that are lost are going to spend an eternity without God. And to be separated from God is terrible enough. But think about the terrors that are going along with that. How that they are going to spend an eternity in hell without God. Those that are lost, those that go to hell, are going to spend eternity there in a belching, burning lake of fire. And there's no annihilation of the wicked. They don't just, after a while, pass from this life and no more torture, no more pain, but throughout eternity, throughout the ages, we'll suffer. It's a place that the Scripture says that the worm died not and the flame is not abated. And He said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, having an understanding of the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. This implies that without this knowledge, without this understanding, without a knowledge that souls are going to go to hell and they're going to spend an eternity lost without God, if we don't have that revelation, we'll never be effective in trying to reach people for God. If we don't have a revelation of there's a hell that souls are going to, and I know we don't hear a lot of preaching about hell. We hear a lot of preaching nowadays about a lot of things, but we don't hear a lot of preaching about hell. But I'm going to tell you, hell hadn't shut down. And hell hadn't gone out of business. Matter of fact, my Bible says that it's enlarged itself beyond measure. Hell is in a building program. It's growing constantly because souls are marching headlong into hell without God forever, never having another chance to come to an altar. And I'm going to tell you, I don't care who says it. I don't care how high up they are when they say it. But you don't get to heaven outside of the Acts 2:38 message. You don't make it to heaven by just being a good person. I said, you don't make it to heaven just because you didn't hear and nobody told you. The Bible tells me that even the elements around you, creation itself, speaks to you. That there is a God in heaven. That's in Romans chapter 1. And so everybody's got a witness. All you got to do is walk outside in the morning and hear birds chirping and a sun rising, and you'll understand that there's a God, and there's a God that wants to save me and deliver me and set me free. Lately, there's been those that have been saying that you know, good people that had never heard the gospel and they live basically a righteous life. That there's three categories. There's the righteous, the righteous, and the wicked. And you know, you kind of fit in one of those categories. But I don't read that in the scripture. Matter of fact, only thing I read in the scripture is there's sheep and there's goats. There's a narrow way and a broad way. Praise the Lord. There's a straight gate and a wide gate. Amen. I don't read about three avenues, and I don't read about three choices. This isn't multiple choice. Amen. This is true or false. You're either in this thing or you're not in this thing. We got to have a revelation of this truth. We got to have a revelation that it takes repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And if you don't have that, you're going to have a difficult time persuading men. But when you have that understanding, that's what it takes. If it didn't take that, we need to leave everybody alone. Because they're in bigger danger if they have knowledge than they were if we just leave them alone. Praise God. But I don't believe in a light doctrine. I don't believe that you can only be responsible for as much as somebody tells you or delivers to you. I believe if you're hungry hearted and you're desirous for God, the Bible tells you when the Spirit of truth has come, it will lead you and guide you into all truth. Amen. And you got a desire to be saved, God will reveal to you the truth. Praise God. I believe it takes this man. You must be born again, Jesus said to Nicodemus. Praise God. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. I've got a revelation of what it takes, and I've got a revelation and understanding, amen, that in order for me to be saved, I got to be obedient to this gospel message, and I want to see as many folks as I possibly can make it. Oh, do you feel that way tonight? Come on, church, help me right now. Somebody reach out to the Lord right now. Somebody seek after Him right now. Somebody call on His name right now. Hallelujah. You got to have that conviction that people's going to be lost because of this knowledge that we have. We persuade men because we know the terror of the Lord. We persuade men. You know, conviction. Anybody that knows anything about preaching knows that a preacher that doesn't really have a deep prayer life, he can't preach conviction because that only comes through a prayer life. But it's the same with anybody winning souls. You cannot really be effective in getting this message across unless you've been in the prayer room seeking God and got this on the inside of your heart and you got the burden of the Lord and you realize these people are lost. And I may be the only thing standing between them and the devil's hell, and I got to do my best to try to reach them. You say, well, I haven't been all that effective. I've talked to some and I've tried. General William Booth over the Salvation Army, and I know that he didn't nearly have all the truth. But this one statement he made to some of his subordinates that he had sent out, he'd sent them out to work and witness or whatever it is that they would do in ministry. And they come back and said, we haven't been effective. We haven't seen many converts. He stood there in silence for a little bit and looked back up at them. And he said, go again. But this time, try tears. Try tears. I'm going to tell you, until our heart is broken for a world, we'll never really be effective in reaching people. As long as we can just be passive about them marching into hell, not really concerned not really compassionate for their souls will not be effective. For Jude said in 21 and 23, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." I want you to notice what he's talking about. Before he gets any further, he said, this is what's got to be done. This is where it all starts. Building up yourselves with your most holy faith. How? Praying. I prayed until I got in the Holy Ghost. I prayed until I got to the place that the Spirit was praying through me. And faith was arising, building up in my heart. Verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. They were able to pull them out and make a difference because of the compassion that was prayed into them, because of the desire to see people saved that was prayed into them. It started in an old-fashioned prayer meeting. It started when they got down to business and prayed until the Holy Ghost overshadowed them. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost is able to open doors. The Holy Ghost is able to make a way. The Holy Ghost is able to help us to be effective. He's able to anoint our words to be acceptable words. He's able to give us the words. Sometimes it can be so intimidating to witness to some people. You say, well, they come from a different place in life and a different station of life, and I feel a little bit intimidated talking to them about the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, behind all the glitz and the glamour, and behind the nice suit and the nice dress, all of the material things that they have, there's a heart that is yearning. There's a soul that is crying out. There's a consciousness that is seeking after God. What do I got to do to be saved? And God is able to give the people in this room the boldness to speak and to be anointed when you do so, so that it'll be acceptable words. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's able to speak through you, move upon you in such a way, and anoint you in such a way that you'd be effective. I remember when some of the men were first going out. I was just a child, but I remember those home missions type services when people like the Godairs and the Huntleys and different ones would talk about going out into North Carolina. At that time, there wasn't very many churches out that way, and I think the Godairs went earliest, and then Brother Huntley went soon after that, and they went out there, and there was little churches for them to even fellowship with. They was just kind of out there in new territory, pioneering works for God, now a thriving area, and many great revival churches there. But I remember one time in a meeting when Brother Huntley and his wife carried in a casket from the back of the building all the way down through the Coliseum, all the way up to the front. People wondered, you know, they had pallbearers and they was leading this casket up. And he got up and he said, you know, when I went to North Carolina, he said, I was told to go to the nearest graveyard. And he said, there, to find in that cemetery, to find the freshest grave that I could, and go and kneel down beside it, and to apologize that I came to Raleigh too late to give them the message. And of course, he's talked about that for a little while, and then he talked about a man that when they first came there that they was able to meet that had been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And, it was already in the advanced stages by the time they were able to get to teach him a Bible study. And he was already growing weak. But this man was hungry for God. And he and Sister Huntley would go and teach him a Bible study. And after a little while, this man saw his need of being baptized. Of course, they made arrangements, special arrangements, so they could baptize him. And if I'm not mistaken, it was right there in a hospital room where he was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And it wasn't long after that that he passed away. And I remember these words Brother Huntley said. He said, "This is one that I didn't have to apologize to. This is one I was able to get there in time to see him say." Well, I'm going to preach tonight that we may be in this church. We may be the only thing that stands between some people in hell. And we want to do our part. We don't want to have that on our consciousness. We don't want to have that on to be laid to our charge. We don't want that responsibility, amen, to be laid upon us. But we want to do our part. You say, "Well, God didn't work that way." I'm going to tell you, God does work that way. We're to be salt and we're to be light. And we can't just shrug it off and say, "Well, I got the Holy Ghost and I don't care what the rest of the world gets it or not." I'm going to tell you something. You got to reach out to somebody and tell somebody about Jesus. This is too good. This is too wonderful. This is too great for us just to contain it within these four walls or just keep it in our own heart. We need to get an experience in a prayer room that bubbles over to somebody else. I was listening to Brother Peden talk about that overflowing experience. Not just enough for me, not just getting my cup full, not just being saved. Come on now, let it splash over onto somebody around you. Let it run over upon those people's lives. Luke chapter 14, Bible tells us, Jesus here giving us an illustration. He said, "Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many." He sent the invitations out, in other words, and sent his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, "Come, for all things are now ready. I've got it all ready and prepared." And they all went with one consent and began to make excuse. The first said unto him, "I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. And I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. And I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, "Go out quickly." In other words, time is of essence. "Into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind." And the servant said, "Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, yet there is room." And so what did he say? "And the Lord said unto him, unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them." Somebody say, compel them. "Compel them to come in that my house may be filled." There's still time and there's still room. But both of them are running out. And we got to do our best. So I want you to use every bit of emotion. I want you to use your ability to persuade. And that word compel resonates with me. Because knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing that time is running out and it's just about over, we've got to do our best to persuade people to come and to be a part of this and to receive this. Amen. We've got a responsibility, church. Why don't you stand to your feet with me? Praise God. Why don't you lift up your voice, your hands to the Lord? Let's ask God to help us right now. Let's ask God to put a burden in our hearts right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. I love you, Lord. I know Sister Taylor comes to the music. I know that I use several stories and maybe even told this one about Brother Pugh. But Brother Pugh really had an impact upon my life, and his ministry really touched me, as other men have. But but probably more so from him and his ministry, though I didn't know him well until just the last few years of his life. Just such a man of God that was able to minister and work in a way that was unique. I'll never forget his testimony of how he came to God, how that he was just a young boy, prayed through in a little church during a revival that Brother C.G. Weeks preached in Noble, Louisiana. He was 13 years old. His daddy had already passed away. And it was his mother and his sisters living there in a little rundown shack on the backside of a piece of property that they worked and farmed. Just really scratching out its existence. And Brother Pugh said one night he went to bed, just 13 years old. His mother, they were in the denominational church. And matter of fact, when people of that family came to God, there was members of their family that was involved in that denominational church that never spoke to them again. Never said another word to them the rest of their life. Because back then it was quite a price to be paid to be Pentecost. It's a lot more acceptable now to have the Holy Ghost, but back then you had a stigma on you if you was a holy roller. And so this mother of Brother Pugh was connected to that denominational church. Brother Pugh had got the Holy Ghost. Sisters had got the Holy Ghost. He went to bed one night and he had a dream from the Lord. Just a teenage boy, just very young. And the dream was is that he saw his mother in hell. He said, I could see her face. He said, I could see her rolling through those flames. And he said, I could hear the screams of people as they would pass through my dream, as they were tossing and they were writhing in that place of utter darkness, in the flames of hell. He said, when I saw my mama, he said, she was crying out. He said, my nickname was Buddy, and she was crying, Buddy, 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 help me, help me, help me. He said, I awoke. He said, I was startled. I didn't really know what to do. I prayed. He said, I'm just a boy, you know. I don't tell my mama what to do. I respect my mama, but I know she's lost. I know she has to be saved and needs the Holy Ghost, needs to be baptized in the name of Jesus. He said, and I went out that day to work and do my chores, and I came by my sister and I told her, said I had a dream about mama. We got to get mama to church. Said she went to hell is what I had in my dream. She was lost. We got to do whatever necessary to get her to church tonight. That was a night when they were having church. I think it was a revival that was going on. And said, let's do whatever we can do to get her to church. She said, well, you know that she'll make excuse. You know how she is. She'll say, well, who's going to do this and who's going to do that? He said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. He said, I'll split chores with you that she normally does. We'll do all of our chores and we'll do hers too. You do that, I'll do this. And they divided them up and they got them all finished and they came in for dinner. Mama had fixed a big dinner and they were sitting down at the table and he said, man, he said, it was on my heart so strong. He said, I couldn't get away from it. My heart was beating. He said, I knew that I had to say something. I had to try. He said, but I was nervous about it, but yet I was so driven by burden for my mother. I'd seen her in hell. He said, I finally spoke up and said, Mama, would you go to church with us tonight? He said, it was just like my sister said. She said, well, who's going to do this? And who's going to do that? And what about all this work around here? And he said, I said, Mama, me and, he said his sister's name, he said, we've already done it. And he said, suddenly, he said, I noticed she bowed her head. And he said, I knew then. She was moved by that. She said, all right, I'll go. And he said, that night, He said, I'll never forget it. She walked, I think it was 3 miles to the church. She came in. Said she was wearing, I could tell you what brand the feed sacks or the feed sack dress that she was wearing. She had sewed together that night because he said she was the first one to the altar when the altar call was given. And she knelt down there and prayed and got the Holy Ghost. He said, the next night, we baptized her in Jesus' name. He said, the next day was Sunday. He said, we got up that morning. Mama was taken sick. Said, JT, I don't think I can go today. I can't walk that 3 miles. I'm not feeling good. I can't go. So he went to church and came home, and I noticed she was worse. He said, I made a pallet by her bed. He said, I didn't intend to go to sleep, but it did. He said, when I woke up, he said, I knew it wasn't long. She was dying. He said, she slipped out into eternity. And I'll never forget the words Brother Pugh said. He said, Mom, I guess was 36 hours from hell when God gave me that dream. She missed hell by just about 36 hours. I want to tell somebody in this room, I don't know, but I do feel strong about this revival and what Brother Peden's been preaching around here and the urgency of what we're doing. I know we can't make nobody come. I know that. I get it. But we got to do everything we can and let God use us. And I asked you last Sunday night to make a list of names, and I trust that you did. I hope you didn't blow that off. And I don't know if you thought about it since Sunday. I trust that you have. And I don't know if you've been praying about it. But I've been trying to work that, and I've been trying to text people and call people and tell people, I'd like to see you in the house of God. Because we don't have a long time. We can't put this off. We can't say, well, revival, we can always have revival. It's time for me to do this, and it's time for me to go here, and it's time for me. I wonder if you've seen your kids in hell, if you've seen your mother in hell. I wonder how many people in this place are real close to eternity. People that we're connected with, real close to eternity. And it's up to us to get a burden for them. I'm not saying that I know that. I'm just saying that I feel very strong burden in the Holy Ghost to tell somebody we need to do our best to reach souls. We need to do our best to reach the lost. I wonder if somebody would come down this altar and say, God, I want you to help me to pray it into me. I want God to be stirred up in my spirit. I want to get underneath a burden for souls and the lost and people that need God. I'm not just going to shirk it off and leave this house unburdened, unfazed by it. But God, help me to get a fresh vision. Help me to get a fresh revelation, a fresh knowledge of the terrors of eternity. And God, it may be the prayers prayed here tonight that moves upon somebody, that touches somebody's heart and that moves them into action. Maybe the prayers and the calls and the testimonies and the witness of these people, God, that are in this room tonight, that spark a revival in families that are on the brink of losing out and forever being lost without God. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord Jesus. I want to compel somebody to come. I want to compel somebody and persuade someone. There's those that are lost. There's those that are going to hell, and I got to do my part. I got to tell them. I got to tell them. I can't keep this to myself. I got to do my best to try to reach. Got to do my best to try to compel them to come. Oh, things are now ready. Go out in the highways and the byways and do your best to try to convince somebody before it's too late. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Oh, God, help me to get under a burden. Help me to pray and get under a burden for souls. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Help me to have a desire to see somebody reach before it's too late. God, help me, Lord, before the door of opportunity is closed. Oh, God, help me to do everything I can do to see them saved. God, I can't make them, but God, you're able to create circumstances. You're able, Lord, to deal with them. You're able, God, to stir them. You're able, Lord, to move on their hearts. God, I pray that you would help us. You would help us. You would help us, God. You would help us. In Jesus' name, you would help us. God, we want to reach somebody. Lord, we want to see a city shaken with revival. This city deserves one more great revival before you come. This city deserves a church that is burdened for their souls and loves the lost. Oh, it desires to see people saved. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. I love you, God. I love you, God. I love you, God. I want to be stirred. I want to be moved on. Come on, we can get under a burden for ourselves many times, but can we get under a burden for somebody else? Can we get beyond us and our needs and our wants and desires in God and say, God, help me to get a burden for lost souls. Help me, God, to get under a burden for those that are in need of you. People around me every day that need this gospel, they need this truth. Hallelujah, lead me, God. Guide me, direct me. Oh, put it in my heart, Lord. Help something to resonate with me tonight. In Jesus' name, there's souls that need salvation, and I want to be sensitive enough to you. I want God to be able to be moved on at the right time to say the right things, acceptable words, Lord, that would help someone. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah.